Okay, beloved. Let's turn in our sword tonight to 2 Peter chapter 2. I searched for a message for tonight. And I finally found it when I encountered an anniversary. 71 years ago today, the first portion of the Revised Standard Version came out in 1946, February 8th, 1946. 71 years ago. 3 days later, the New Testament of the Revised Standard Version would be published, and Wikipedia said, quote, it would become the first serious challenge to the popularity of the authorized King James Version, end quote. Well, tonight I want to bring you a message entitled, Beware the Triple Threat. 2 Peter chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 1 through verse 3. But if you have your place in your sword, please say amen.
Amen.
Very good. If you're able to stand, let's stand in reverence to God's Word. And because there's a few verses here, I won't have you read out loud. Just follow along in your Bible with me. Beginning with 2 Peter 1, chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now watch this. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Those are some choice words by the Apostle Peter. Well, let's pray. Father, tonight we come to your throne, Lord, crying out to be fed from your word. Lord, I pray you'll hide me behind the cross, Lord, and have your will and your way be done. And Lord, if there's one here tonight that needs to have a touch from heaven, Lord, and I think we all do, some way, shape, or form, Lord, we ask, Father, tonight that you'll just meet with us and have your will be done. And Lord, if there be one here, Lord, under the sound of my voice that ain't saved, Lord, we pray tonight you'll save them out of a devil's hell. And Lord, if there's something hindering us from getting closer to you, Father, open our hearts and mind that we might see it, know it, and get shed of it. And so, Lord, tonight we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Before I go further, I would like to open this up just for a moment. Sunday morning, I failed to ask if there were any praise reports. So, does anybody have a praise report tonight? Anyone? Anywhere? It could be 2 weeks old. It could be 50 years old, for all that matter. Yes, Amaya. Yes, ma'am. You forgot. Okay. All right. That's all right. It'll come back to you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. All right. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. All right. All right. Anybody else? Anyone? All right. Well, praise the Lord we're here tonight. All right, now, let me define something here, what a triple threat is. Who knows what a triple threat is? That's it. In sports, you sports fans know what that is. It's like the football player might be good at passing, kicking, and running. It's somebody who can do more than just one thing. And so inside of a sport, that's pretty good. Well, think about in a job. If somebody was good at your job, their job, and somebody else's job, they might be a triple threat to you at your job, might they? Well, tonight, I want to show you a triple threat that the devil has running for him. And we need to beware of that triple threat. Now, when the Revised Standard Version came out, this wasn't fooling God's people. And it made me so happy when I read about this fella here. Now, I know you can't see it, but it took a while, though, to reach Rocky Mount, North Carolina. But in 1952, that's, if I remember right, that's when the Old Testament came out in the RSV. And this preacher in Rocky Mount, North Carolina said, ladies, let's simmer down in there. He said he was going to burn the Revised Standard Version. Can you think about that? A preacher said he's going to burn the Revised Standard Version. And everybody thought he was a lunatic. But he was a Southern Baptist. And guess what else he did? He said, because the Southern Baptists were allowing the Revised Standard Version to be preached inside of their churches, he became an independent Baptist. So on November 30th, 1952, he preached a 2-hour long sermon. Y'all thought I was long-winded. And he burned the Revised Standard Version outside. Why did he burn that Bible? Because in Isaiah 7:14, they changed a virgin to a young woman. It denies the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He said that's why he was going to burn that Bible. And he did. Amen. But tonight, I want you to see the triple threat that comes from Satan's kingdom. Now you say, well, wait a minute. I thought triple threat was something good. It's good for the devil, okay? And that's what I want you to see this as. I want you to see this as how the devil finds it good. But we're going to see it for what it truly is. It's a evil thing. Because see, it's just like, you know, everybody was in the woo-hoo about the Super Bowl. Well, you're either going to normally pull for one team or you're going to pull for another team. Well, tonight I want to ask you, which team are you pulling for? Are you pulling for the devil's team or are you pulling for Team Jesus? You know, that's what we're looking at tonight. And if the other team has got something that's a triple threat, don't you think we ought to know about it? Don't you think we ought to know that? I mean, don't these sports guys, don't they sometimes watch footage of the other team when they play? Greg, do they do that? Do they watch the other team how they play so they'll kind of know what to expect off of certain players? Sometimes, okay. It's called reconnaissance. It's called getting the idea of what's going on. So tonight I want to show you three things about Satan's triple threat. So let's look back up at verse number 1 out of 2 Peter chapter 2. It says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily, that means privately, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So the first triple threat, beloved, I see is this. They are good at disguising themselves. Did you hear what he said? False prophets, false teachers, damnable heresy, right? So what does this mean? They are going to appear to be a godly prophet, but will be in reality a false prophet. They will appear to be a good godly teacher, but will in reality be a false teacher. They will appear to be about the truth, but they will in reality be advancing heresy, false teaching. So how do they disguise heresy? Well, remember what came out today 71 years ago? The first portion of what? The RSV, the Revised Satanic Version. I mean, the Revised Standard Version. Well, I'm going to put three points in there too, okay? So what's the first letter? R, right? So how do they hide these heresies, these false teachings? It is, number one, by revision. Now, what does revision mean? It means to reconsider and alter the meaning. That's what it means. To revise something means to reconsider and alter the meaning. So that's what they did right there in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. A young woman. They reconsidered and then they altered the meaning of the Hebrew word Alma, which for many, 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 many years by the Jews has been said to mean a virgin. A virgin. So what they did, these men went in with their dirty, rotten, thinking paws, went inside the Holy Word of God. They got a corrupt form of that Holy Word of God, and they went in there, and what did? They revised, they altered, they reconsidered, and they changed virgin to young woman. Why? So now, Jesus no longer has to be born of a virgin. And you know what? If I could get more than one copy of that, I'd burn it too! So there you see, guys, we have false prophet, false teacher, false teaching. How? Out of a revision, David. Out of a revision. That's how. Out of a revised Bible. That's how they hide their damnable heresies in that. But yet when everybody, now look, where did Peter say they would be? They wouldn't be out on the street. They wouldn't be out in the seminary. He said they will be found where? In the house of God. And the sad, sorry fact is, he says that there's going to be people in the church that are going to be listening to these shopheads. That's threat number one. They are good at disguising themselves. I mean, when you hear some of these, let's see. Just like in one of my books of the Encyclopedia Britannica, it's a annual, tells you what all happened last year. I think I was looking at the issue 2010. So this is going to be people that are famous in 2009 or they died in 2009. Well, guess who I saw in there? Reverend Ike. Has anybody heard of the black preacher, Reverend Ike, before? He's a prosperity preacher. I remember when I was over at Rose's years ago, we had a black floor cleaning crew that came in. And the guy there, the head man, the manager of the floor cleaning crew, he's a preacher. Well, here I was, stuck with the manager, way after we closed, moving things off the floor so they could clean the floor. And so, somehow, she told him I was a preacher. Great. I hate when people do that sometimes. And so here we are, he's talking to me about who I listen to and what preacher I like and blah, 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 and all these different things. And he says, I like Reverend Ike. I said, who? Reverend Ike. I said, the only Ike I know I like Ike is Eisenhower. And I wasn't even alive when he was there. No, no, no. You got to listen to Reverend Ike, man. Why? He said, he'll tell you how to get what you want. Like, I don't know that already. I'm an only child. I'm an expert at that, for crying out loud. I will say this, though. God is good. Yes, I can still be selfish sometimes. Don't say amen, Heather. Let me give you this. This is a little rabbit trail, no extra charge. One of my things that I like to do, you know, my hobby, reenacting. Well, there's a little site on Facebook, Civil War Reenactors Trade Blanket. So if you got something to sell, you can put it on there. And you generally, I can put something on there and I can turn it around, Brian. I can sell it within an hour. If I need to make $30, $50, I can put something on there, boom, you know, it's sold. Well, somebody in New York put a whole bunch of stuff on there. And so I'm on there looking. You know, it's bad to window shop, especially when you ain't got no money. Now I know, Daddy, why you say, well, I don't need to go trade there. I ain't got no money, boy. You know, I understand. So here I am. I'm scrolling down. Suddenly there's a coat on there, and it's a chaplain's coat. And I said, oh, man, that looks awesome. $150. No, I'm sorry, $140. That's just as bad, though, ain't it, bro? All right, then, no, I said that wrong. It's $130. I'll get my story right in a minute. And then I flipped down right below that. There's a hat and a boot. I said, oh, man, look at that. There's a coat and a hat. The hat was $40. I said, that's $170. I messaged her. I said, hey, I'm a poor preacher. I said, how much you take on both them things? He said, I'll take $150. I said, man. So here's what I did. I put that picture on my Facebook. I said, boy, don't that look good. I said, oh, if I had money. Well, guess what happened, David? One of my buddies said, why don't you just say, help me get this. Help me get this. I said, okay, I'll beg for money. Why not? Yesterday, by 9 o'clock, I received $150 from four reenacting buddies on there. They said, go get you that coat and that hat. I said, okay. And they said, we felt the Lord telling us to donate this to you so you can use this chaplain's coat in your ministry. I said, oh, it'll be used in the ministry, all right. I'll put it to use. And if anybody gives anything extra, I'll buy a gospel tract with it. So next week, I should have my coat and my hat come in. So praise God. You know what Jesus said? You have not because you ask not. Or you might say, yeah, you're just good at begging. I reckon. I don't know. But either way, God saw fit to use these men to bless my little heart. God don't ever say He'll give you what you want. But He does say He'll take care of your needs. But it just so happens our Heavenly Father likes to bless us from time to time. But don't you go in and listen to these prosperity yahoos out there. They're going to be of this mindset that you better demand of God what you want and He better give you what you want. Let me tell you something. He's the king. He's the boss. You don't tell Him what to do. You like Oliver, please, sir, I'd like some more. You know, if He deems fit, then you'll get that. But if it ain't, I'll tell you this. If He says no and you go and you barge open and open that door, you better watch out what's behind it. Because if you keep begging God and begging God and pushing God and pushing God, God might just give you what you want. And it might not be the greener grass that you thought it was going to be. So be very careful. But what I'm saying, guys, is this, is that there's a lot of false preachers and false teachers in our churches today. And they are so good at disguising themselves. And that's how this thing here disguises itself in something that looks like a Bible. But it ain't. What's the second of the triple threat in the devil's team? Number one, they're good at disguising themselves. Number two, they're good at drawing away. Look at verse number two. And many shall follow their pernicious way by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now what in the world? People don't talk like that nowadays. What does pernicious mean? It means false, wasteful, a loser, worth nothing. So basically, they look to be something that they're not. And everybody's running after this mirage, if you will. And they're running after it. Now, why are they doing that? Because the second point in the RSV is that these people are so good at disguising themselves. When the average church yahoo, yokel, looks up at them, they say, man, what a model of a man or what a model of a woman they are. And what do? They just go running right after them. If they say, well, this is how you get blessed by this. And so you pray as I prayed. Right? Isn't that what they do? Or they say, just send me $39.95 and I'll give you a prayer cloth. It's a snotty, sweaty hanky. I could come up with 500 of them in one Sabbath. But you don't want to pay for it, and I don't want you to pay for it. So what are they doing? They are portraying a fake or false standard. Revised. Reconsidering altering the meaning. Standard. What does standard mean? It means an idea or thing used as a measure, a norm, or model in comparative evaluation. In other words, what we're really seeing is man's standard rather than God's standard. You see? That's what we're seeing. And that's what these false teachers are doing. They're trying to push off and pawn off their standard. I mean, think about their standard of living. I mean, I remember here a while back, it was Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth somebody or one of these guys. Might have been old Jesse Duplantis. They said, oh, I need a new jet. You what? I need a new jet so I can get from here to there. Like that. Because God don't want me to be stuck in traffic. Or like Oral Roberts saying he needed, what was it, 3 million, 3, 4 million, 2 million, I don't know what the million was. I just know it was a heap of money that you and I ain't never seen in our lifetime. And they said, oh, you better give unto my ministry. If you don't, God's going to kill me. Are you serious? He said that on national television. And guess what the poor sophead did? They gave their money to that Looney Tune. Mama. Yeah. Oh yeah. Don't surprise me, mafia. Mob, some whatever. And see, that's what happened. They are putting a standard up here that they want everybody to come up to, that they themselves ain't even living up to that standard. It's a false standard, is what it is. But you know what happens? You say one thing against one of these TV knuckle brains on there, one of these TV preachers, and what happened? The little old woman on her fixed income, instead of supporting the church, she's sending all this money into that false preacher. Because he said she would get blessed beyond all means. And all she's doing is driving herself inside the hole.
Amen.
And it's happening all over the place.
Right.
You got people that will sit at home and they'll say, well, I can watch a preacher on TV. You know, let me say this. You can watch that preacher on TV, but there's something that you miss out on instead of being with the family of God in the house of God. You know? So they're good at drawing away. They are good at getting people to follow them. It's just like the breadcrumbs going down to the witch's house. When Hansel and Gretel followed those breadcrumbs down there. Point number three. We see number one, they're good at disguising themselves. Number two, they're good at drawing away. And here's number three. They are good at deal making. You say, what do you mean? All right, look at this. This is it right here. Verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with, I want you to remember this, feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. That means, don't worry, God is going to give them their comeuppance. They're going to give them what they deserve.
Yes,
all right, but what he's saying is, he says, through covetousness, shall they with feigned words make a merchandise of you. And so what they're doing, guys, is they're good at deal making. They're good at making money. That's what they do. So what is this covetousness thing? Covetousness is greed and fraudulent. It's just like a used car salesman. Now, I'm not knocking used car salesmen. There's some good ones out there. But it's like a used car salesman trying to sell somebody a lemon. They will lie, cheat, and everything else just to get your money. And they'll stick you with a lemon. It's when they're in the prosperity preaching, trying to appeal to many so that they can get rich. But it ain't you they're wanting to get rich. They're getting rich based on what they're offering you. And they lessen Jesus and doctrine. Now then the text said that they use feigned words. Now guess what? This literally means, feigned words means artificial words or fictitious, which what is fiction? It's fake. It reads like it's real sometimes. But it's fake. Many modern Bibles use a fictitious Greek text that did not exist prior to 1881. So what have we already seen? We've seen how do they get that false teaching inside of the churches? It's through revision, right? They reconsider what has been said or written, and then they alter the meaning. It's just like a woman getting up and saying out of Timothy, 1 Timothy, that, well, when Paul said that the husband of one wife, he's just talking about the time when it was written. ain't talking about when women were treated like cattle. Well, if that bleeding heart liberal is so gung-ho about women being treated as cattle, why don't she march and protest against the towhead Muslims out there? But no, she don't want that. She ain't interested in that. She's interested in power, in authority. If you believe in what the Word of God said, there is no place for a woman to be a pastor. And don't think God's beating up on women. He ain't. It's the fact that God has outlined there is a place for men and there is a place for women in God's kingdom. I mean, it's what's happening now when you have people saying, well, I don't feel like a man today. I guess I'll dress up and be effeminate. That's condemned by God's Word. I mean, when you got man buns and you got man purses, that ain't nothing but the devil and the work of Satan straight out of the pit of hell. Okay, whose little feelings it hurts, snowflake? It's tough turkey is what it is. You're a man if you're a man. You're a woman if you're a woman. Stop trying to change what God made. That's why they're trying to change all this. It's because it's what God made instead of what they made. All right, then what is the second thing we saw? We saw standard. We saw these false teachers making a man-made standard that they try to live up to and they want everybody else to live up to, and that's the standard. It's that they're becoming role models. I mean, look at Benny Hinn. The standard he's putting out for people. Oh, yes, you can be here. Oh, glory to God. I don't have a coat to swing around like he does. Anyway, you know. And then Joel Osteen, oh yes, you can have your best life now. Hey Joel, my best life ain't now. My best life is when I get home to heaven. Oh, bunch of crock. R.S., Revised Standard, and what's the final one, David? Version, V, right? V, for not victory, version. Now, they use these fake, fictitious words how? In various versions, right? So what does version mean? Listen. It is an account of a matter from one person or source, listen, contrasted with another account. It is a form or variant of something. So guess what? Every time you run across a version, it's being compared, contrasted, or it's a variant. What's variant mean? It's different from what? I'll tell you what it is. The truth. And David is absolutely right. Don't call this the King James Version. Because it ain't one among many. Call it what it is. It's the King James Bible. Bible. The authority. The standard and rule of our practice. This is a version, a corrupt version. But let me tell you, they weren't done with that, God. You know what this is? The RSV came out in 1946. All this is a retranslation of this. This is the American Standard Version. Came out in 1901. Well, this ain't even the end. This is an Americanized revision of this. This is the Revised Version. Came out in 1881. So this is the daddy of all of the modern Bible. The Greek text underlying this New Testament is the same Greek text, essentially, that's used in every single modern Bible since 1881. This is it, right here. So this is the daddy of the ASV. This is the grandpa of the RSV. But now get this. This is the Protestant version. You say, what? Yeah, hang on. I ain't done yet. This is the Revised Standard Version, Catholic edition. What? Yeah. You can turn inside. There he is. Daniel. Go ahead, look it up. Turn in your Bible. Try it out. This Bible says Daniel chapter 14. You want to look it up? Right here it is. Look in your Bible, see. I got a Daniel 14 right here. Now you look in your Bible. You say, preacher, you crazy. I ain't crazy. I got a Bible right here that's got it in it. Daniel chapter 14. That's what it says. Right there. Right there. Black and white. Right there. Well, I ain't got no chapter 14. You better not. That's right. Well, why's that Bible got one? Ooh, that's got more. Let me get that. You better not get that one. You know why they did that? Because Catholics can't buy this one. So they added what the Catholics put in. So now they can what? Increase their sales. Same Bible. Okay, now when did they do that? They did that in 1957. This came out in 1946. It took about 11 years to get this edition. That ain't done yet. In 1977, 20 years later, they added three more chapters. What? They added the 151st Psalm. They added 3rd and 4th Maccabees. Now, why did they do that? I don't have one of those. Why did they do that? They did that so the Greek Orthodox Christians would buy it. But they're not done yet. There's more. They came out with the New Revised Standard Version in 1989. What did they do that for? Well, you know, 1946, it's a little old. It's a little dusty. Just revamp it, republish it, repackage it. Ooh, new, shiny. Gotta have it, gotta have it. It's new. That's what they did. So this now is the great grandson of this. Not done yet. In 1963, they came out with the New American Standard Bible, which is the brother of the Revised Standard Version. You say, what? All right, here's what they did. This is the older brother. Look at Daddy and Uncle Junior, okay? This is what it is. These two guys are brothers. They came from this right here. This one was born first. This one was born second. He was born in 1946. He was born in 1963. Sons of this Bible right here. All this one is a revision of this right here. But it's not the same thing as this one. What did they do that for? Money, money, money! All right, girl. Get to my generation. 2001. English Standard Version. It's the son of the New Revised Standard Version. So this is the great, great grandson of the Revised Version of 1881. And this one makes Jesus into a liar. In John chapter 7, it deletes one word, yet. Jesus says, I go not up to the feast. But then one verse later, it says, and he went up to the feast. If you said I ain't going, and then you go, we call that lying. But your King James Bible says, I go not up to the feast yet. Yet. Lord, you got preachers and you got teachers out there that swear by the ESV. Oh, yes, that's more sophisticated and more closer to the original. No, it ain't. That thing's nothing but this here from 1881. Repackaged. That's all it is. And you know why they did it. Money, 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 money. Or, as 2 Peter 2:3 says, and through covetousness, greedy, greed, shall they with feigned words, fake words, make merchandise of you. What does that mean? They're going to milk you for every penny you're worth. Huh? So what is it? They're good at disguising themselves. They're good at drawing away God's people. because the preachers ain't worth 2 cents for defending the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. They're doing anything and everything but preaching and teaching God's Word. That's why you have so many people out there that are using these funny, corrupt modern Bibles today. And then what else are they doing? They're good at deal making. They're good at making money. So number four, final point, and we'll close it up. We've seen what they're doing, right? We've seen the triple threat from Satan's team now. Let me give you the triple threat from Team Jesus now, shall I? We must be good at defending. So what's our triple threat? It's in Ephesians chapter 6. Number one, our triple threat is the whole armor of God. Number two, have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the Bible, King James Bible. And number three, prayer. That's our triple threat. And we don't have to have a Cam Newton or a Babe Ruth or an Ozzie Smith or a, what is it? Who's it got? Brady Bunch. Tom Brady. Or a basketball player. Which one? Michael Jordan. Yeah, here we go. You see how old I am. Wayne Gretzky. Okay. We don't have to have a star of our show, because there's only one star of our show. His name is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. But every one of us can be a triple threat. If we have the whole armor of God, if we have the King James Bible, if we have a prayer life that's active and real. So like David, I've stopped saying KJV. Because it ain't one among many, it is the Bible. So let me give you the KJV response to the RSV, shall I? What do we have again? We have the King James Bible. So, watch this. I ain't going to say like some rednecks say. You know what the redneck's going to say when he wants to go do something? He says either, hey, y'all watch this, or hey, y'all hold my beer. But anyway, we ain't going to say that. I'm going to say, hey, y'all, watch this there now. Now, look at this. King, all right? It's authorized by the heavenly king, and it was given to us by an earthly king, King James I of England. Ecclesiastes 8:4 says this, where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, what doest thou? Ain't nobody going to tell the King James Bible, well, just what do you think you're doing? You know why? Because it's the standard by which every other Bible out there is compared to. Because it's the moss. It's had the rule and reign for well over 400 years. So what do you need to do? You need to stand for the king. You remember what the Brits said right before they went over the top in World War I? They said, boy, George, for King George, for king and country, charge! That's our cry too, eh? For king and country. Number two, what's the next part inside of our KJB? What is it? King. What's that? James. All right, now James is the Greek word of the Hebrew word Jacob. Now what does Jacob mean? It means follower or supplanter. You say, well, what does supplanter mean? Supplanter means to trip up or overthrow. Watch this, guys. I want to be a James. What does James mean? Follower, right? I want to be a James. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be a follower of my Greek teacher. I don't want to be a follower of the committee that put out the ESV. I don't want to be a follower of Joel Osteen. I don't want to be a follower of Craig Lovett. I don't want to be a follower of any other man. I want to be a follower of Jesus. That's how I want to be a James. But how about this? What does James also mean? Supplanter? It means to what? To trip up or overthrow? Well, guess what happens sometimes in sports? Somebody might trip up the other player, huh? One of the best ball players I ever saw was Pete Rose. Now Pete could be rough.
Yeah,
he could rough them up.
Yes,
he could trip them up, couldn't he? What did he want to do to the other team? Overthrow them. He said, I'm going out there to win. Right? So you know what? I want to be a James too. I want to be a supplanter. I want to be an overthrower of Satan's schemes. I want to trip up the devil's plan. I want to supplant Satan's kingdom. I want to supplant Satan's people and see them become followers of Jesus Christ. Can we get an amen there?
Amen.
Yeah, I think I want to be a James too. But there's another thing you see about that. James is personal, ain't it? It ain't just any old Bible. It's a personal Bible. It's King James's Bible. And you know what? It ought to be Tommy's Bible. It ought to be James Creighton Loveless Jr.'s Bible. It ought to be Greg's Bible. You know? It ought to be your Bible. It don't need to be the Bible that your grandpa carried, that your mom and daddy carried. It needs to be your Bible. That the promises are your promises. That they come alive to you. And then our final word there is Bible, not version, Bible, because it's the Word of the living God. It's the law of the Lord. It is the way of life. It's the means of telling the sinner how to be born again. It's the thing that tells us what's right and what's wrong. It is the Bible, folks. Wow. That's what I got to defend. The King James Bible. I got to take a stand on that Word. Because if I ain't standing on that rock, everything over here ain't nothing but sand. That's right. Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Bought in blood, life eternal. And you know what? You can say that too. Whenever Bruce Metzger, a Bible perverter, by the way, translator, he read about that old preacher burning the RSV in 1952, he said, well, praise God that we've advanced so far that we're not burning translators of the Bible, but now they're just burning books. Bruce, I hope he got saved, because he's in a heap of trouble with God. But you know what? There's a lot of folks out there back in the 40s and 50s and 60s that bought into this and said, you know what, that's the Bible, this here ain't. And they threw the King James out because they thought this was better. It ain't nothing but a version. And when we say virgin, we say perversion at that. But guys, beware that triple threat. Those false teachers who are good at disguising themselves. And they're good at drawing people away. And they're good at deal making. They're good at making money. Folks, I'm telling you, you better watch out about them. Because sooner or later, one of these days, we're all going to give an account of ourselves before the Lord. And that's one reason why we need to defend the old path, the old way, and the old book. And we need to stand with our KJB and tell the RSV to hit the road, Jack, and never, oh, come on back, you know. All right. Well, there it is, folks.